We good now? Yeah, here we are. My little sister's watching this morning, so I'm going to say hello to Bobby Jean. And I've got thick skin. You can throw all the darts at me. I'm good. I'm just going to add what Colin said. My little sister's laughing at us because she lives in northern Kansas. And we know that snow constitutes an emergency in Texas. So so she's laughing at us this morning. But we are so excited for those of you that came. We know some of you, the snow and the weather is a lot different where you're at. And we want to welcome you this morning online with us. You may be asking, Pastor, why have you showed? You don't normally do that. You don't show the same video before your message every Sunday. Why have you done this one every Sunday in this series? Because I want it to be in front of you that we are in a new season. We're in a new time. And it's time to go and move into that new future that God has for us. As I am continuing the series, The Tip of the Iceberg, today we're going to travel into a new place that's very, very important to what's in the core of that iceberg. In this particular series, this expositional sermon series, we are uncovering what it is we need to know and what it is we need to do concerning all the promises that God has made us, and we've been outlining those promises over the last two Sundays. Oh, that's... It's one of those Sundays. Hey, well, hey, we have fun at church. Come on now. We have fun at church, okay? But we are looking at what is it we need to know and what do we need to do to get to the core of the iceberg. Only 10% of an iceberg can the human eye see. The human eye can't see the core of that iceberg, which is large. God told us that the miracle of this building was the tip of the iceberg to all that God is going to do here. So we need to know what God needs us to do to be able to embrace the entire iceberg. We determined last week that we need to have spiritual eyes. There is a need in the body of Christ to have spiritual eyes so that we can see what is unseen. We need to have spiritual eyes to see the rest of what God's telling us. We outlined all the promises, but God wants us to see all of what those promises are. The other thing that God wants us to do is he wants us to embrace the promises. We talked about that last week. That means to wrap your arms around it and act like you already have it. I know people are going to say, you're nuts. You don't have that. And you keep talking about it. Embracing means you're going to speak faith that I already have what is not here yet. You're going to embrace it. The altars filled up last Sunday with people embracing promises that God had made to them and reconnecting with those promises. God shared with us the promises of the future of North Elevation Church and to you individually within North Elevation Church, and to you personally, promises God's already given to you. And there are things we have to do. First, we got to have spiritual eyes again. Number two, we got to embrace them again. And number three, that gets missed so often, is that we need to write down the promises. You got to write down the promises. In Habakkuk, where I read that, if you read the verse before it and after it, you realize that the reason for writing it down is so that you can run with it when the enemy is trying to steal it. You write it down. You speak it. You remind God of the promise he made. And you tell the devil, no, this is what God said. This is what life's going to be. And you do warfare with it. But if you don't write it down and you're trying to do it by memory, most of the time, you'll be so caught up in what the enemy's doing, you don't remember. Rochelle says, I have a great memory, but I write it all down. Because I love opening it up and saying, it is written right here. This is what God said. You said, but there's nothing on those pages. Well, we start a fast tomorrow. There will be. We need to write down the promises. What has God promised you? Write it down. We've been outlining the promises God has made here at North Elevation Church that includes you. If need be, go back and listen to the messages either online on the audio or go to Facebook and capture those and write them down. Put them someplace where you can run with them. That is so important. Now, before we go another step towards the promises, there is something we must do. We must do. We must draw nearer to God. We have got to draw closer to God. There is so much going on in the world. If you're not going to be moved by it, you're going to have to be connected solidly with Him. Because in Him, we put our trust. In Him, no matter what's going on, we can trust Him that He'll take care of us. We have got to draw nearer to Him so that we can fully see the promises, embrace the promises, and run with the promises. We've got to draw nearer to Him. Now, the Bible exposes that prayer with fasting will bring us into a closer relationship with God. Fasting will bring you into a closer relationship with God. Fasting will cause you to draw nearer to God, where you can clearly see what His will is for your life, your family's life, and everything around you. Fasting will open your eyes to the fullness of what's underneath the tip of the iceberg. Fasting will help you have the strength and the fortitude to wrap your arms around the promise and not let go. Fasting will help you run with the promise. Now, we all want God to move, right? We're going to have to get more serious about getting nearer to Him. We've got to get closer. And fasting is one of the ways that we get nearer to God. Now, a lot of Christians, a lot of people outside the church, have a lot of wrong ideas and thoughts to what the purpose of fasting is. Let me cover a few. If you haven't noticed, we're going to talk about fasting. Number one, fasting is not a form of self-punishment. It's not. Though you may feel like God's punishing you for some reason. Number two, fasting is not a way to somehow pay for our sins. He did that on the cross. Number three, fasting is not something totally unpleasant. How can you call getting nearer to God unpleasant? Well, I don't like the unpleasantness getting there. But it's good for you. Number four, fasting is not God's way of forcing you to submit to Him. It's not. You don't have to fast. You don't have to get nearer to Him. That's your choice. I choose to get closer. You know why? God's made us some incredible promises. God's made you some incredible promises. And we need to go into a season of fasting and prayer. That's what we need to do. That leads me to my first truth. My first pen truth. Fasting is an invitation to see God move in amazing ways. Anybody ready for some suddenlies? Some amazing. Fasting causes things to happen. You know why? Because you get closer to God and your faith and your trust in Him goes to another level. And now you embrace what God has said and you watch it start happening. Fasting. Now, I'm going to look at the graphic with you. I don't normally ever look at the screens. I'm going to look at it with you. Tomorrow, we start 21 days of prayer and fasting. 21 days. Pastor, could it just be one day? No, 21 days. Churches all over the country started the first Sunday. I mean, the first Sunday, fasting and praying. We're picking up the back half. There's a whole bunch of us doing that. We didn't all coordinate it. That's how God works. It just all worked out that way. A lot of the guys I do life with, their churches are just starting Monday. What is the purpose of our fast? Making room for God's presence in our lives, so that we can fully see what is not seen yet, fully embrace what we don't have yet, so that we can run with the promises of God. And it's greater to do that in His presence. In His presence. That's what this fast is about, is to get into His presence. Because the closer we are in His presence, the more things are going to change. It's just the truth. Things will change. Now, fasting. Put the pause button on the rest of my sermon. This is for all free coming right now, so hang on. Don't fast something easy. In the Smithy household, we're gathering today for two birthdays. There'll be dessert. It'll be on everybody's mind. Except mine. Dessert's not a big thing to me. I don't eat much candy. I don't eat desserts. I can sit in a room full of desserts and eat and not have any. I can say, well, I'm going to fast desserts. And most of you would be going, oh, wow. I don't know if I can. That's not a big thing to me. Rochelle's addicted to Dr. Pepper. I can't wait to see what her fast is all about. Don't fast something simple. Fast something that you have to humble your life before God. Some of you can't fast food. I know that. Fast something. For some of you, 21 days without social media might be hard. I've already deleted Facebook. I'm after the promises for the next 21 days. I've already deleted it. I'm not just going to fast food. I'm going to fast other things. I am challenging you. Don't fast something simple. Fast something that makes you have to humble yourself before God. Don't do something simple. Whatever it is you choose to do, some of you out there, video games, I know. But I'll tell you what, if you'd fast them for 21 days and spend time with God, you don't know what might happen. Everybody with me? Fast something that's really a fast. I can't tell you what that is. You know what that is. When we fast, what are we doing? We're putting aside what? Self. We're putting self aside when we fast. And we're telling God, I'm going to allocate more time to prayer and communication and fellowship with you. If you get a 30-minute lunch, guess what you're about to do if you're going to fast? You're going to give it to God. If you spend 2 hours playing video games, 2 hours with God. If you spend 6 hours a day thinking about dessert, oh, Lord, have mercy. We're going to give the time to our Father and draw nearer to Him. Fasting. Jesus taught fasting. And when He spoke of fasting, I love the way He spoke about fasting. He said, when you fast, not if you fast. When you fast, Jesus expected us to fast. You know why? Because Jesus knew that that's how we can draw closer, get nearer to Him. We're taking self out and putting God in, into a season of time to draw nearer to Him. Fasting is so important to our future. I'm going to land on a verse of Scripture that is my landing spot for fasting. I'm going to take you into my world. It's not a fasting Scripture, but it's where God speaks to me about fasting, because it's where I start. It's where I will be tomorrow morning. I did it this morning. I actually got a jump start this morning. I already began to do what I will continue to do tomorrow morning, and it's in the garden. Jesus is in the garden in Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. remove this cup from me. That's the next sentence. Yet not what I will, but what you will. It is a moment where you say, Father, over the next 21 days, whether that is you fast a meal a day or you don't fast a meal a day, you fast something for a few hours, whatever you land on. It's a moment in the beginning where we say, Father, in this season, it's not about my will, it's about me connecting with your will. It's not a season in its immediate moments of everything I desire. In its immediate moments, it's all about what do you desire for me? And show that to me. I submit my will to your will in this fast. And I love Psalm 73:28 that says, but for me, it is good to be near God. But it is good for me to be near God. It will be good for all of us to fast some way, somehow, some portion, at some moment, at some time over the next 21 days, because it will be good to be nearer to God. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for me to spend more time with God. And fasting is key in that. The most valuable, the greatest benefit we see right here in this verse that jumps out to me is to fasting is to draw closer to God and to learn from Him in this season. To learn things I need to know. To learn new levels. So that I can fight the devils on a new level. Fasting will change your life. I'm not here to preach on living a fasted life. I've done that. I've done series on living a fasted life. Right now I want us to be focused on 21 days. Whatever God leads you to do. It's you hearing from Him. Probably the first day or two is all about, God, what do you want me to do? We sent out emails encouraging you to already begin that process for the past 2 weeks to begin to seek God about what He wants you to do. Truth number two is fasting is an act of humility before God. Now Ezra is about to do something in front of all the people. They're about to go on a journey. And before they begin that journey, Ezra is going to call the people to something. And listen carefully to his words. In Ezra 8:21, he says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God. What's the purpose of the fast? To humble ourselves before God and to learn of Him and to get connected to His will. And to grow in our relationship with Him that will increase my spiritual eyes, give me strength to embrace, and give me the endurance to run the race to the promise. First, it begins in the garden. Not my will, Father, but your will. A moment of humility. Now, I didn't put this verse in there, but Ezra comes along a couple of verses later and he says, we did this, and he listened. God listened. I've said this before. Fasting doesn't give you some level of grabbing God's ear and bending it. Fasting causes God to bend His ear closer to you. Fasting. God will draw closer as you fast. Fasting simply says that I am going to humble myself, God. I am going to submit to you, God. I'm going to make time for you, God. I'm going to seek you, and I'm really serious about this. because I want to be more focused on you, Jesus, in a pointed way. God, this fast is my trumpet sounding to you that I am humbling myself and I am submitting myself to you to seek you, and I'm serious about this. That will bend the ear of God. James 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and what? And he will draw near to you. Humble yourself in the fast. Here's one of the key things that I have learned when I am fasting. When I'm giving up stuff and the enemy starts trying to give me a hard time, I don't have a lot of patience with him. Because I just gave up my steak dinner. And how dare you start messing with me? I've been with God for the last 3 days, and you're in trouble now. He showed me some things you didn't even know he showed me. Now here it comes. And you resist the devil, and the Bible says he will what? Flee. Fasting will reveal things to you, give you insights to things. Fasting will uncover the enemy's plots and plans, and you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And in the process, as you draw nearer to God, he what? Draws near to you. That's a great trade-off. Is it? It's a great trade-off. Let me drill down into that a little more. Truth number three, God's word is spiritual food. John 6, 48 says, I am the bread of life. Christ is the bread of life. Let me make a point that we should all know. Don't go into fasting and prayer without the book. Because this is the bread of life. The purpose of all this time is to hear from him through this word. Because it's the bread of life. It will answer the questions that you have. It will reveal insights that you need. Stories, situations in here that last year meant nothing to you in the fast will jump off the page, and for the first time you're going to understand what's going on around you and exactly how to deal with it during the fast. Fasting deepens our relationship with God. Fasting will increase your desire to feed on the bread of life. It will do that when we are serious about what we're doing. Whatever it is you give up, it will stir you to feed on the bread of life. You know, it's more than going without something. It's more than going without something. It's all about a deeper, more personal, exciting relationship with my Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about. Here's another thing that it's all about. Are you ready? You are, you aren't. It's also a season in which you can hear God's instruction more clearly. Here it comes. And correction more clearly. Let me tell you something. There's some correction that needs to happen, and that correction is going to keep you out of trouble. That correction is going to set someone else's life free because you won't make a decision you weren't supposed to make. God will correct your path. He'll correct your understanding towards a situation and line it up with His and change it. Never run from correction from the Holy Spirit during a fast. He's taking care of you. And He's taking care of others. And another cool part of fasting is we hear His words of encouragement in a brand new way while we're fasting. Fasting is so important. That leads me to number four. Fasting opens doors to deeper truths. John 16, 13 says, He will guide you into all truth. Now, what does that mean? He will guide me into all truth during the fast. Take me into deeper levels of truth. And He will. Because when you're fasting, you will move into deeper levels of truth. What does that mean? Well, if you're a businessman and you have humbled yourself and you have fasted, I'm just picking three today. I'm not excluding anybody, just picking three, okay? If you're a businessman and you've humbled yourself, you've made it clear that you're serious about this for the next 21 days in your fast, God will reveal truths to you that will increase your business, will increase your business, and help you reduce your expenses. I've seen that happen over and over again. Just one thing here, and just in a business way. Deeper truths during a fast. And what will those truths do to you as a business person? It'll help you embrace the promises. You're a mother, you're a father, and you're serious about this 21 days of fasting. God can take you into deeper truths that will end conflict in your home. Give you insights and language that will change everything. Extended family, your own family. The fast can deliver your household. I'm just being honest. It will. It can. It will. That's just one thing. That's one of 100 things. If you're a student, and I know we've got some of our college students watching us this morning. If you're a college student and you're serious about the fast and you've humbled yourself, during the fast, God can give you insights, deeper truths on how to excel in your studies. I mean, He'll do all kinds of things. Sometimes we don't know what the next thing is to do because we haven't spent enough time with the bread of life. And so we just function on what we always do. And we don't function on a new truth that's deeper, that will change everything. And fasting will take us there. It's important. Fasting is so, so important. I shared with you about the building. I just want to go back a little bit. I shared with you about in the office that day, you know, when we were in the 12th hour, that we looked like, maybe God just helped me end this well. I've got all my journals, and I'm looking at all the 40-day fasts we did as a church and times that just the leadership fasted for 20 days and 10 days. And there was one time all the leadership for 40 days, we text each other for 40 days, and we fasted and prayed. And I have all that pinned down. All the times we did 21-day fasts. I was bringing all that before God. And in all of that, God would just keep encouraging me and encouraging me and encouraging me. He said, you're breaking things down. This is all preparation. I'm working. I'm getting everything in line. I'm getting everything ready. You just keep doing. You keep pressing in. You keep falling into the fullness of what I want you to do right now in the fast. I'm going to reveal all kinds of things to you that are going to help you embrace the promises. It's going to help you see the promise. It's going to help you run with endurance for the promise. And God fulfilled the promise. Fasting and prayer. People say, why didn't it happen? I don't know. Maybe there was just a lot of things we needed to learn along the way to be ready for the new season. Just a thought. Number five. Well, let me read John 16, 13 to you. He will show you things to come. Fasting opens your eyes not only to deeper truths, greater insights, but he will open your eyes to the things going on around you that you didn't see yesterday, so that you can be a difference maker in somebody's world. Fasting, number five, will bring the promises into focus. Fasting will make the promises so clear that you can see them with brand new eyes, where you will embrace it and not let go, where you will run and see it happen. Fasting will make the promise so clear that even in a nanosecond, like what I went through in the office, where I had that thought pass through for about 10 seconds, well, Father, just help me in this ministry well. No. God said. God promised. And you keep running with endurance to the promise. And I know that I know that I know that I know that I know all the fasting gave me the strength to keep going. It helped me to hang on to the promise. And it caused me to see it so clearly I couldn't let go of it. Come on. You want to see it so clearly you just can't let go? And if the enemy comes in, you're going to go, oh, dude, you just messed up. Number six, fasting will strengthen you and prepare you for the future. That's what I've been talking about. Some of you were with us, been with us for 10 years. Some of you, 9, some 8, 7, goes down. Some just been here in the last year. Some came watching normally here this morning right after we got unportable. Fasting helped us endure the time. Fasting helped us stay connected to the promise. Fasting gave us fresh and new insights how to keep working hard when it was hard. I'm telling you, nobody was more painful than anybody in this room when they shut the theater down. We hadn't set up and tore down for 15, 16 weeks, and I was already like, God, I don't know if I want to go back and do that. I know a lot of you were doing that. But after talking to the team, if we had to, we would have. And still hung on to the promise. Fasting gives you the strength. What does the Bible tell us? In your weakness, he is made strong. There is time in that fast where you feel weak, but he is making you strong. Preparing you. Today in my conclusion, I've had them put what I'm going to say up on the screen this morning, so follow with me. What do I expect as the pastor of North Elevation Church from the 21 days of prayer and fasting? Well, that all of us will become more responsive to what God wants to do in our lives and what he wants to do through NEC in 2021 and beyond. Did you hear the word? And beyond. This isn't all about 2021. This is about our future. It's about your future, not in the next year, in the next decade. I know a whole lot of us would like for Jesus to come back real soon. Wouldn't bother me a bit. But I'm going to press forward into the next decade until God says otherwise. In 2021 and beyond. Also, that we would listen carefully to what God reveals to us in our personal lives that need to be surrendered to him. That's why I start my fast. I begin it this morning. The conversation, I will move deeper into that tomorrow because I know God's going to talk to me about some things I need to surrender to him. And I wouldn't be surprised if the first words out of his mouth is some correction. That's okay. Because that's good. It's going to help me see the promise more clearly. It's going to help me embrace the promise. And it's going to give me the endurance to run to the promise. So it's okay. Furthermore, that our eyes will be fully open to the promises he's made to us personally and to NEC. My expectations are that we will all draw so close to him that our trust in him elevates to a new level to face whatever comes our way. I believe that together as we seek his presence to hear his voice in these 21 days of prayer and fasting, we will be moved by his heart to do his will. And as we step out and impact our communities for him. You know, I'm so excited about having this altar area, I can't hardly stand it. But I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask those that are online with me right now, so please stand. I had one guy stood up in his boat in the middle of the lake back in the summer. We're going into a fast for 21 days. And you have to determine what that is for you before God. You can ask me questions. We'll help you through that process. If you want to know how to break a fast, if you're going to do a pretty intense fast, we can share with you how to break a fast. When I went on my 17-day fast, all those years ago, water only, I didn't do it to lose weight, although I lost a lot of weight, about 50 pounds. We were going to a church called Stepping Stone at the time, and pastor came to me and said, you need to tell people what you're doing. I was keeping quiet. She said, there's people thinking you got cancer, you know, because I was getting so thin, like I was sick. And I said, okay, you want me to start saying stuff to people? And I did. When I went on that 17-day fast, I need to be fully honest with you, it was not easy. But the deeper I got into it, the more hungry I became for his word and for his presence. And what happened the 6 months after that fast, I have documented, I've even brought up in sermons, God did some crazy, amazing stuff in those 6 months afterwards. And actually, Rochelle and I have talked about it. It went on for about 2 years. Just different things. You mean you never had any hardships? Oh, far from it. But that fast gave me the strength to endure those hardships. And see God be what he always is. And what is he? He's a faithful, loving Father. That's who he is. Maybe today you just need to take a step of faith and say, because maybe it's something you struggle with, fasting and sticking to it. Let me give you a word of encouragement this morning. If you contact me, and you can, you say, well, Pastor, I'm just going to give up. Why? Well, I've already blown it. I've already failed at fasting. Here's what I'm going to say to you. That's okay. Start tomorrow. Just go ahead and pick it back up tomorrow. God's not standing there with a big stick and going, wow, you blew it, so you're out of the game. If you'll let him, he'll embrace you and say, that's okay. I'm with you. Let's do this. You can do this. You can do this. If you feel you need to take a step of faith today, I'm going to ask you to just come to the altar and just submit this 21 days to God. If you feel you need to do that, just come do that. We have an altar now. You can social distance down here. You can go all the way around to the sides. You feel like that's what you need to do in this 21 days. I'm so hungry. You know why? Because God said that we were moving in not to a miracle moment, but into a miracle season. I'm ready for some miracles. What about you? And he said, series after series after series after series of miracles. I'm believing that everyone here is going to experience series after series after series of miracles. I believe that. Father, as we come to you this morning, we submit ourselves to you in the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow, to seek your presence. Because we're hungry for the promises. We're hungry for the promises. We're hungry to learn how to see our world change around us. Father, we come to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves fully to you, to let you know this is a season that we're going to be serious about. And because I know how the enemy is, in the name of Jesus, I bind all assignments against this church and against any person in this room and online watching. I bind the plots and plans of the enemy to steal from anyone during this fast, to complete the fast that they know in their heart they're supposed to do. I take authority over it in Jesus' name. And I bind and break in Jesus' name those assignments right now. And Father, we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise for this season that we're going to walk into as we run to the promises. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. If you are a guest with us, please stop by the Connection Center. We have a gift bag for you, and please fill out the connection card before you leave. Other than that, give everyone a high five, a distant air hug, or if you're hugging, hug, whatever. In Jesus' name, be blessed, and you're dismissed.